Okay, let's get started with Parshas Tzav. Parshas Tzav, and we'll have one thought on Parshas Parah at the end of the shiur. But there's a lot to talk about. We don't always have a shiur Parshas Tzav. Sometimes it's Shabbos Hagadol, but this year it is still in Chodesh Adar. And we start off with a thought from Rav Moshe that we had more than a decade ago. I think it's the only one that is going to be reviewed, but it's a thought that I think is important. Says Rav Moshe, Ufasharas Begadav. At the beginning of the parsha, we have the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen, and the pasuk describes what the Kohen has to do. There's the mitzvah of Hotzas Hadeshen, taking out the ashes from the leftover karbanos. Trumas Hadeshen, lifting it up and putting it on the side of the Mizbeach. We spoke about Rav Hirsch in the past, how the Trumas Hadeshen is a transitionary avoda. It connects yesterday's avoda to today's avoda. It takes out the ashes from yesterday, but it's the first avoda of each day. So that's kind of the transition. Ufasharas begadav v'lavash begadim acherim, v'otzias Hadeshen michutz l'machane, says the... I'm sorry. We're going to the second one. I don't know why I gave you the first one. We're going to start with the second one. Eish Tamid. Eish Tamid. Say Eish Tamid took a Mizbeach Lo Sichba. The constant fire. Constant fire always has to be on the Mizbeach Lo Sichba. It is not allowed to go out. So Eish, Rashi says, Eish on Mizbeach Lo Sichba. Rashi quotes, Ramosha quotes it, Eish Shemadlikin Asaneros Me'al Mizbeach Achitzon Tukad. The Eish that you light the Neros with, the fire comes from the Mizbeach Achitzon. Right, that's the Rashi. Eish Shene'emar Batamid. I'll read you the whole Rashi. Eish Shene'emar Tamid. The Eish, that it talks about Tamid. Where does it say Tamid? By the Eish of the menorah. He Shemalikin Basa Neros. That fire, Shene'emar Ba Laha'alos Ner Tamid, Af He Me'al Mizbeach Achitzon Tukad. You don't light a match in the Heichal. You take the fire from the Mizbeach Achitzon and you bring it inside and you light the menorah with it. What's the message? Every detail, we'll get to this a little bit later, Be'ez Hashem, but every detail of the avoda is there to teach us something. So says Rav Moshe, there you have it on line 9, V'hakavana l'lmon mizeh, shelalami Torah l'talmidim. When we want to light fire, want to light fire in our students, in our children, in our neighbors, Hakavana lumot shelalami Torah latalmidim tzarech sheyehe behislavas gadol. You have to be on fire to give over Torah. You have to be on fire to light someone else. Aval hahislavus eino bahalimut aitzmo. But the hislavus has to be beforehand, and the excitement in giving it over. But the actual content, and when the information is given, one has to make sure that there's clarity. That there's clarity, the content is not covered up by the excitement. Obviously, there should be excitement beforehand, but during, one has to make sure that one is level-headed and giving it over with Yishev Hadas, because that's the Mesorah. Sholachein, rach chitzoni usote bislavus. So the outside, the cover, the mechanism is hislavus, is fire. V'hachanaso ba'atzmo v'hachanas ha'tamidin tiyeh b'slavus likras limud ha'torah mitzad gablus ha'torah v'ha'mitzvus. So the leading up to and everything surrounding should be with fire. V'ha'limud atzmo yeh b'mnucha nechona. But the actual learning should be calm, should be clear, should be given over with a proper perspective. Mishum sha'alul l'taus b'dinshu isser af sha'atos yeh l'achmir. Because if somebody is excited even during the shiur, and they're not calm and thinking level-headedly, so then one might give over a warped sense of what is supposed to be given over. Sometimes when a posek has to make a decision, even if he's excited about the Torah, there has to be calm and shalvas hanefesh to be able to think objectively and to transfer the Torah in a true sense. So we have to be very excited and emotional and getting into all the Torah, but the fire is on the outside. You could bring that in, but when you get in, it's the quiet, consistent fire of the menorah that stays constantly, that is always there. The outside is where the fire comes from, but when you get in, it's more shalva, one might say. Okay, that starts us off. Now we get into a thought from the Likud here that we quoted before, L'hisanik b'sa'anukim. So the Pasuk says, we know Parshas Tzav has many different halachas of kachim. So later on in Perek Va Pasachaf, we have halachas of transfer of taste. So we know that whenever a karban is left overnight, it becomes nosar. And any kli that had nosar in it, that had leftover in it, has to be broken if it's a kli cheres. Right? That is why, I think I mentioned in the past, or they know exactly where the Mishkan of Shiloh stood. Why? Because, first of all, they found a wine and an olive press right next to each other, and that's very unusual. Usually wine, and they're different places, but they're right next to each other. Because that's where it was needed, in the place wherever, right near that flat area that it was, in the exact dimensions. But also, we know in the Mishkan, all the karbanos were able to be eaten b'chal haro'eh, as long as you could see the Mishkan. And in the entire mountain range around this area that they assumed that the Mishkan was in, they found shards of kli cheres, of earthenware, in all the area around, because that's, you're allowed to eat up until that point. And just over the ridge, on all the other sides, nothing. Nothing. So this is where the shards were. This is where the Mishkan was. So it comes from this halacha. This halacha that whenever a taste is transferred, whether it's into a kli or into another food, so it has the halacha of the karban, of the item. Says the pasuk, pasachaf, kol asher yigabiv sara yikdash. Whatever touches, yigabiv sara, touches the basar, the flesh of a karban, yikdash shall also become sanctified as the item. Rashi, kol asher yigabiv sara, kol devar ochel asher yiga v'yivla mimena. Any food, let's say I have a piece of meat that touches a hot karbon and absorbs taste from it, so that chulin piece of meat now is subject to the limits of a chatas, only male kohanim and only that day, only in the azara. So yikdash, Rashi quotes, lios kamoha, im psula tipasel v'mikshera te'achel kechomer sheba. So it becomes, right, if it's absorption, so then yikdash. Vasher yizeh midam ala beged, and if the blood gets sprinkled, then you have to wash the makom kadosh, a special din of dam chatos. Says the sefer here in Lezani B'Sanukim. Fascinating. Im naga adam tar ba'adam tameh, if I just touch tuma, I touch rachmanos on a dead body, I touch a dead sheretz, I just touch it, a tiny little touch, I become tameh. Tiny little touch. To transfer, what does Rashi just say? To transfer the kedusha of the pesar chatas, you have to be absorbed. It has to absorb in. Just the touch is not going to do it. Right? A cold touch. If my meat touches a cold piece of chatas, there's no taste transfer. Just wash it off. Just wash it off. But when it comes to kedusha, you know, it has to, the carbon has to be absorbed. Says the Lehisani B'Sanugim. What's the difference? If Naga Adam Torah B'Adam Tameh Ha'Adam Atara Nitva Ube'idach Matzinu B'Pasik Zeh. What do you see in this pasik based on Rashi's explanation? Shim Nogeya B'Sar Chulin B'Sar Chatas. If a Chulin piece of meat touches Chatas, Dino Shal B'Sar Chulin K'Din B'Sar Chatas, with a major difference. Hanogeya B'Adam Tameh Nitma Afilu B'Negi Akala. Only if it is absorbed, it's cooked together, it's hot. What's the difference? See, he quotes the Baal HaTanya. What do you see from here? If somebody is in a tummy environment, in a second, one could be affected. Just a touch, a quick little touch, Rahman al-Islam, something that we shouldn't see, we shouldn't hear, we shouldn't be connected to. The tumma could affect us in an instant. For Kedusha to affect us, you gotta work a little harder. You gotta be absorbed. You want the Kedusha to be effective. Right? Just walking into a cemetery, I become Tameh. I become Tameh. Tameh Mace. Walking into a shul, do I become Tar in a second in a shul? No. In a shul, you don't order all of a sudden, every second in a shul is good and nice, but only if you're Muvla by the shul. If I get absorbed by what happens in the shul, That's something. What's the message? The message is we have to stay far away from anything tame, because something impure, physically, spiritually, so that's very easily transferred. Very easily transferred. But when it becomes to a davar shebekdusha, I got to make sure that I get absorbed from it. Right? That's how it's going to affect me. That's how it's going to shape me. And he quotes a story here from Rav Shradron that happened to him. Again, it's semi-connected, interesting story, but the message is that You have to be absorbed by Kedusha and have it affect you and become a different person through the Kedusha. He quotes Hayilel Lefnei Lamala Me'arba'im Shana. 40 years before Rav Shradron told this story happens. He went to a senior's residence. He had to go in for some reason. I saw this little shul in this Moshav Zakenim. Ubo Yoshev Rachun al Ashtender, and he saw a big Rav sitting there, a Betzion altar, Yudi Yashish, very old man, who was close to 90 years old. He was sitting there with a Shtender, and he was learning. Yudi Zechiber Svarim Rabim, he wrote many Svarim, Mehim Baruv Yom of Mamish, wrote many Svarim, and he wrote in one of his Svarim, I'm 92, Tisha Mishayim Anochi Ayom. So this is, he sees, well, what does he do? What does he do? There's no retirement. Right? There's no retirement. He goes and he learns. Uvachin Reis of Abesach Nesis is Bonantibo. I see this. Yudi Yashish, Keben Tishim, Lavush Begin Meshi Shachor, Lavosh Mikbash Shachor Adura. He's sitting there. Biodo Hechzik Zuchuchis Magdalis. He has a magnifying glass as he's reading the Gemara. Vakach Yashav Alam Adaf Gemara Bislavas Gedola. Okay, he needs a magnifying glass, but he still learns. This was his life. To see this old man that was totally shakua. Yudi zakein shakua belimur gemara. And he both say bas metikus harevus mamash ka'avrik sa'ir, like a young person, like a young man learning. Right? They say, B'shem Yisrael Salanter, he says, you know what Gan Eden is, you know what Olam Haba is? Three things. A shtender, a chair, and a Gemara Nedarim with the Ran. Says, that's my Gan Eden. You know, other people might say that's the opposite of Gan Eden for them. But he says, that's my Gan Eden. But this was his Gan Eden. Nechrasi peni malachar kama dakot. I finished what I had to do, says Rav Shradron, and I went outside. Ala saf salim b'knis la-beit avot. I see there's a bunch of older men sitting outside on benches, outside the Beit Avot. Zakenim v'zakenot, nenim ikarni Hashemesh, it was sunny, they were enjoying the sunlight, and ishamei zakenah chasamareth, I hear one of the older women say, arboim v'shtayim, 42. Vazakim and Eva Shini, and the man on the other side says, no, ma pitom, it's by shiluch arboim v'shalosh, 43, she said, no, 42, it's by eshata, right, you should be embarrassed, 43, they're arguing, 43, 42, doesn't seem like this is their age. Right. Do siach ma'anyein ze meshach et tzuma libi, moshach, it pulled my, I didn't know what they were talking about. Himshachti lakov acharit patchuto. I was wondering where this was going to go, this conversation. Skin acheres, she said, arbeim v'shalosh, v'zokin acher maflit. No, arbeim v'arba. What are they talking about? 42, 44, what are they arguing? B'safo shel davar no de liadavar. Right. I found it afterwards what they were doing. They were sitting there, they already ate breakfast. They can't go to sleep yet. It's not time for their afternoon nap. Lomovada, they weren't into learning, and they weren't even saying Tehillim. So what did they do? They sat on the benches outside, and they counted the buses that went past. They counted the buses. And this is what they did. 42, 44, they were arguing about the number of buses that went by. And Rav Shradron says, right, Harei Lachem, Nikach Nira Chayechem Shal Anashim Zakeinim Elu. Look at the contrast. Look at the contrast. Who is absorbed with Kedusha? Like the carbon chattas, through their lives, who was shaped by the kedusha, and that's what the Mishnah says. We know at the end of Kinim, Talmid Chacham Chazman Shemazkinim Chachmei Nitosus Bahem V'Chulu. This is the goal that we have to get to. We have to try to be absorbed in kedusha, help it shape who we are, so we could be like the one who is inside the Beit Avot and not the one that's outside. Okay, moving right along as we get to Perek Zayin. Perek Zayin has a halacha, as a avera, that takes in the top few mitzvahs in terms of content and pages of dafim in shas about it. It's in the top few topics. Hotzah b'Shabbos is one of the big ones, right? That has prakim and prakim in Masechta Shabbos about that. But we have also the halacha of pigul. There's an isser of pigul. Psukim describe here in our parsha. In our parsha, says the perek Zayin pasuk Yudches. Zayin Yudches says the Torah in the context of a karban shlamim. Vim heachel yeachel mipsar zevach shlama vayom hashlishi. Even though the pasuk says if this is eaten on day 3, Ashlamim can only be eaten for a day night day. So day three, it's already no sir. But Chazal say this does not mean that it's, if it's actually eaten on day three. This means if the Kohen had kavana when he brought the carbon to eat it on day three. It's called a la'achar zmano thought. La'achar zmano machshava. So if a Kohen thinks to eat the carbon after the proper time, or to do the avoda, a later part of the avoda, after the proper time, the carbon is then labeled as pigel. Pigel, and if that carbon is off limits, as Nisar Karis, if one eats pigel, pigel, lo yechashiv lo, pigel yeh. And the one who eats it will bear his sin. This is the concept of pigel, and there are dafim all about pigel, both in Zvachim and in Menachos. One thought of lumdus. This shir isn't usually a shir of lumdus, but it's a piece of lumdus that defines the mitzvah. So that's also part of what we do here. Try to have a little of everything. So a thought to understand what the avera of pigel is. If a kohen, hopefully a kohen never does this, but if a kohen when he brings the carbon on behalf of every Yisrael, he has to have the proper thoughts, the proper machshava. He has to think the right carbon. If he messes up, then he might have to pay for it. He might be mazik, right? If he does it on purpose, then for sure it's an avera. It's like the Rambam's comparison is, it's like putting a mum in the carbon. If I think a machshava ina ru'uya. So pigel is I mess up the carbon, right? I apostle the carbon. That is the halacha. So if you look in Rav Soloveitchik in source number 4, the halacha is, by pigel, that if a Kohen does this, he does not receive malchus. There is no malchus on the iser of creating pigel. Why? Let's read the Rav. This verse introduces the prohibition of pigel, which is transgressed. If, for instance, the Kohen, while performing one of the actions associated with bringing the carbon, verbalizes his resolve to eat from the carbon after its allotted time for consumption. I'm going to eat from this carbon after the time. All right, so let's assume you have to verbalize it, because thought is hard to know. Achlokas Rashi Tosas, but let's say verbalizing it. So even though he didn't have Avera, but there's no Malchus, because that's the principle that many are familiar with. It's a lav she'ein bo maisa. It's a lav without an action. The only time one gets malchus, lashes, is if there is a lav sheyesh b'maisa. There are other rules also, but that's the only one we're focusing on. It has to be an active lav. It has to be an action. If I eat something not kosher, that's an action. If I don't know, many other averis in the book that are a lav sheyesh, but most averis are a lav sheyesh b'maisa. So that's why for pigel, Kohen gets an avera, but he does not get malchus because it's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. There's a question though, because there's another avera that seems pretty similar, that also seems to be with words, and there you do get malchus. Because the Gemara says, your words had an effect. And if your words had an effect, it's as if you did a maisa. And what's that? That's an avera. All the way at the end of Sefer Vayikra, called Temura. Right? Temura is a whole masechta in Shas. Temura, I go outside, and I want to bring a carbon to Hashem. And I say, I hereby dedicate this sheep on Makdash as a carbon. And then all of a sudden I remember, I have a cow. A cow is a much better carbon than a sheep. So you know what I say? You know what? Forget the sheep. I want to give the cow as a carbon instead of the sheep. Guess what? That's an avera. I'm not allowed to do that. You can't switch a carbon. And now they're both carbonos. They're both. Temura means to substitute. The iser of substitution. You're not allowed to do it, and if you did it, they're both carbonos. Says the Gemara, the Minchas Chinuch asked this question. Rav Soloveitchik quotes it. There, the Gemara says, but if you try to do temura, you did an avera, because you can't switch carbonos, and if you did it, you get malchus. Because you had an effect. Another animal became a carbon, so that's ki'ilu you did a maisa. Is aved be maisa. And the question, therefore, is, the Minchas Chinuch says, in our parsha, we have the Avera of Pigel. Pigel is, I have a thought that I want to eat it or want to do the Avoda after the proper time. That's terrible. It's an Avera. It makes the carbon pusle and Pigel. But I don't get Malchus. Because that's a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. There's no physical action there. It's just words. While by Temura, by the Avera of substitution, Parshas Bechukosai, at the end of Vayikra, the Gemara said, no, you're going to get Malchus for that because your words had an effect. Your words had an effect, so you're going to get malchus. It's as if you did a maisa. What do you mean? By pigel, my words also had an effect. It also had an effect. The animal becomes pigel. That's the question of the Minchas Chinuch. Maybe Rav Soloveitchik quotes this. Maybe this is one of those Minchas Chinuchs that he thought about when he was a boy. The Rav Soloveitchik told the story that, you know, there are different teenage rebellions, or maybe even before teenagehood, that kids have. Rav Soloveitchik said that when his parents thought he was asleep at night under his blanket, he had a Minchas Chinuch. And he was studying the Minchas Chinuch, who asked all the great, great questions that maybe other people couldn't think of. And he used the old Minchas Chinuch, right? The one with all the abbreviations, right? That the Minchas Chinuch was very poor, Rav Babad, when he wrote his Sefer. So he didn't have paper. So he wrote like these 15 letter abbreviations. They have to try to figure out what he's talking about. So everybody nowadays uses the black ones that the Machon Yerushalayim. So there's no more abbreviations. They opened all of them. But in the old, I got one for my bar mitzvah, I remember. You got the small print. So Rav Soloveitchik used to have one of those under his blanket, and he used to love reading the Minchas Chinuch when his kids' parents thought that he was halavai, we should be zocha to such rebellious children that want to read the Minchas Chinuch instead of going to sleep. Our grandchildren. Okay? Anyway, so ask Rav Soloveitchik, he says, he quotes his kasha of the Minchas Chinuch, right? He quotes on line 10. Minchas Chinuch asks a difficult question. Why in Temura, again, do we say that the words that create a result that's called a Maisa, and therefore you get Malkus, why by pig or not? Says Rav Soloveitchik, you know what you must say? Turn the page, source number 5. You know what you must say? It must be that there's a fundamental difference between what the Avera is of Temura and what the Avera is of Pigel. This is just to know, to understand what exactly is Avera. Right, we have to know, right, what does it mean to know Torah? The first step in knowing Torah is we have to know what the mitzvahs are. To know the definition of the mitzvahs. Somebody once told me they went to a gadol, and they were talking about what they should be learning, certain gadol, and the gadol said, well, you should just study the mitzvahs. You should know what the mitzvahs are. He's like, is that so important to know what the mitzvahs are? To know what? Just learn the Torah, learn Tanakh, learn Gemara. You should know what the mitzvahs are. He says, I don't know, I know them. And he starts rattling off all the mitzvahs. Mitzvah Aleph, mitzvah Beis, mitzvah Gimel. Just go like the first. He's like, okay, I guess you should know the mitzvahs. But we should know the definition of the mitzvahs. So, says Rav Soloveitchik, there's a fundamental difference between the Avera of Pigel and the Avera of Temura. We may resolve this question by proposing that there is a subtle yet important distinction between the prohibition of creating Pigel and that of creating Temura. When one violates the prohibition of Temura, the Avera is creating the carbon as a result of your words. That's the definition of the Avera. The result isn't a byproduct. The result is part of the definition of the sin. The sin is a direct result of creating a change in the second animal status from Chulin to Hektish. His words have a direct effect on the status of the animal. So what's the Avera of Temura? You would define it as creating an animal, a carbon, through substitution. That's the Avera. So the effect is part of the sin. That's why it's called a Maisa. Because when you affect and you create an effect, and that's part of the definition of the Avera, that's called a Maisa. What's the Avera Pigel? The Avera Pigel is having a bad thought about the carbon. That's the Avera. You're right, there's a result that happens that the carbon becomes pustle and pigle and becomes ruined, but that's not part of the definition of the sin. The sin is the thought per se of the Kohen. When the Kohen thinks, I am going to eat or do this avoda after the proper time, that's the Avera, separate from the result. So the result has no impact on the definition of the sin. The sin is pure words. Pure words, that doesn't get Malkus, that's not a Maisa. Temura, the Avera is creating the result of a carbon based on my words. It says of Soloveitchik, that's what we have to, but regarding Pigel, the prohibition is the verbalization of his intention per se, and not the effect his words would have in invalidating the carbon. While the carbon becomes invalidated upon transgressing, but that invalidation does not constitute the transgression itself. So a little piece of Lumdus about defining the Isser of Pigel, defining the Isser of Temura. He does go on, which we're not going to read. He says, that seems to be the Pashup shot, but he sees the Rambam seems to have a different definition, but we'll leave that for now. Tonight's shiur will have a little of everything. Now we have a little depth from Rabbeinu Bachai. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Rabbeinu Bachai is commenting on the Pasuk at the end of the Karbanos sum up, which is the Pasuk that we say on Yontif. Right, Yontif, some shuls have the, Ashkenazic shuls have the minhag of saying Kakeli, before Musaf. And it's connected to this pasuk, Zos HaTorah. This is the Torah. These seven prakim, the first seven prakim of Vayikra. We have a list of all the karbanos. Zos haTorah laOla laMincha v'laChatas v'laAsham v'laMiluim u'lezevach haShlamim. All the karbanos: Ola, Mincha, Chatas, Asham, Shlamim, Asher Tziva Hashem es Moshe Bar Sinai. That Hashem told Moshe b'Yom Savosos Bnei Yisrael, on the day that He told Bnei Yisrael to bring the karbanos in the Mishkan. So at the end of this whole discussion, Rabbeinu Bachai talks about karbanos. Right. The Ramban talks about it at the beginning of Vayikra, and here the Rabbeinu Bachai talks about karbanos, and he talks about, obviously we know Bizman Hazeh, we don't have karbanos, but he emphasizes that the more we focus and appreciate the details of the halacha, like every area of halacha, we'll gain messages of what we're supposed to learn from the karbanos. V'ha inyan, let's read Rabbeinu Bachai. We have to focus and analyze, right, to which inyan this hints. As I like to mention in some of the Daf Yomi Shirim, sometimes we get to a Gemara about Karbanos and Karchim and Taris, and sometimes people turn off. No, you got to turn on, especially by areas of halacha that are not lamaisa for us. That's when we really have to study and try to appreciate it. So he says, ki mitoch kach, through studying these halachas, yisgalu einei sichlo, our mind's eye will be revealed. V'yavinu niflos mitaras hakarbanos, and we'll understand an area of halacha that is so foreign to us. U'bazeh yishtadal yosir b'kiyam ha-Torah v'mitzvos, and it'll affect us. V'yavanos av nimchalin lo, kilu ikrif karban, and when we appreciate the karbanos, we'll get the atonement of the karban. Kiein lomar, because it can't be when the Gemara says, and Chazal say, if you say Parshas HaKarbanos, then it's as if you brought a karban. What, that's just saying it without knowing what you're saying? No, kiein lomar shetia hakavana sheyehege v'yigros lashana parsha bipsukeha ha'arumim bilvad. Mibilishi is bonim bipirusheim. No, it can't be. You have to say it like you mean it. Right? Karbanos, saying karbanos is a lost art. You know, there are some mitzvahs that have mazel and some mitzvahs that don't have mazel. I guess if it's said at the end of, I guess it's not true. I was going to say Sfiras Omer is said at the end of davening. It's said as mazel. Everybody says Sfiras Omer. But Ein Kelokeinu doesn't have such mazel either. You know, but karbanos, especially here in Eretz Yisrael, where many minyanim start with Rabbi Yishmael, karbanos are crucial. It's a crucial part of davening. Right? And that the Gemara talks about, saying karbanos, ki'ilu. The Rabbeinu Yonah has a line in Brachas. It might even be a din d'oraisa to say Parshas HaKarbanos. But it's not just saying it. It's knowing what we're saying and understanding it. Look at this samashal, he says. Just like the Gemara says in Brachas. If you say Ashrei three times a day, one-way ticket to Olam Haba. What if I have no idea what Ashrei is talking about? That's Olam Haba? He said, no, you should appreciate what Ashrei is. Poseches Yadecha, focus on some of the words. If I appreciate Ashrei, that will affect me as a person, and then I'll earn my Olam Haba. And that's why we say, we say the parsha of Karbanos, and Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shakorin Bohem, Malani Aleim, Kiilu Hikrivim Lefanai. Okay, part one, Karbanos, crucial, Rabbeinu Bachai says, to try our best. Now he says on line 13. Now he gets to some little deeper ideas. V'dava havein, ki chelke ha-karbanos kulanein tisha. He splits up Karbanos into nine. Nine. Even though the Torah lists off less, but he splits it up a little bit more. Bein Karbanos sheish be'am makam miyuchan, sheshchitasan batzafon, whether they're the kachay kachim, the north side, or bein osem sheshchitasan b'chol makam azar, or anywhere, the kachay kalam, ve'eluein. What is his list? Ola minchas chatas asham. And now all the other ones, the Rambam in one place calls them all shlamim, the next five. But he has them all separate. Tod shlamim b'chor meiser pesach. So he has nine. He's going to talk about the number nine. That's why he has nine. V'kfar yadata ki cheshbon tisha tachlis ha'achadim. He says nine symbolizes wholeness. Now, why is that? He doesn't explain. I'm guessing because it's the highest single digit. Right? This is a Maharal type of idea. He talks a lot about numbers. But nine is where you've gotten to the next is a double digit. Ten is like using one and zero. V'tachlis kol ha'musa, v'ein ha'saga l'malam mitisha. There's nothing above nine in the numbers. V'alkein bo karbonas b'chesh matisha. That's why the karbonas are nine lahoros. She'ein kavanas ha'avodah b'karbonas ki'im l'shem ha'miyuchat. Right, because nine symbolizes the highest level that one can reach in, I guess, the singles, and therefore that's why nine karbonas bring us up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he quotes the chulu. Let's skip down to the bottom line. Even before that, he quotes that. Va'od amru. Where's the line? Where's the line? V'hamizbeach. Line 22. The mizbeach, where the karbonos are brought, is in a special, unique place. You can never move the place. That's where Adam was created. That's where Adam brought the karbonos. Cain and Hevel and Noach and the Akeda. The makom of the mizbeach is special. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, you look, the word makom appears nine times by the Avos. The makom. That makom, and he quotes all the psukim. Vayaris ha-makom, vayavo ha-makom. Nine times. Right? Vayivka she-makom ahu beisel, vayivka ben ha-makom. So he says nine times. Ukshacharav beis ha-migdash nivla ha-makom hazeh. But when the beis ha-migdash was destroyed, the makom was swallowed. We don't know exactly what this means. Rav Shavel writes that maybe just like the Aron was swallowed up, the makom was swallowed up, the special place where the mizbeach was, as the pasuk says in Eicha Tavu Ba'aretz Sha'areha. Either way, says the Rabbeinu Bachai, this is the nine, the makom, the karbanos, the nine, and he says the tess of the word tavu in Eicha is small, l'remez, l'tvias ha-makom, to allude that it was swallowed up. Either way, karbanos have a lot of secrets, and it's our job to analyze them as well as all other areas of Torah. Where the Chafetz Chaim says you got to focus on the halachas of karbanos, just like you have to focus on all the halachas of all other areas. But the nine is the crucial number, according to Rabbeinu Bachai, in the world of karbanos. Okay. So in the second half of Parshas Tzav, we have the Miluim. We have the Kohanim inaugurating the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to a number of opinions in Chazal, he acted like the Kohen Gadol. He was not the Kohen Gadol, just here in the Miluim. In order to make Aaron the Kohen Gadol, he acted like the Kohen Gadol, and then he transferred it, and Aaron a Kohen, and Moshe was no longer a Kohen. There's a discussion, this is just to introduce the next source, there's a discussion in the Gemara, did Moshe Rabbeinu have to wear the big day kahuna? He wasn't a Kohen, but he was acting like a Kohen. Did he have to wear the big day kahuna when he did the avodah of the Miluim? When he showed, when he inaugurated with all the other Kohanim? Let's keep that in mind. Says that Yonah Shaltar ben Tzion Fuhrer. He has a maimer where he talks about, and it relates to this idea. Yish batei sefer shebein koslehem bitlu es ha-distance bein amor v'atalmid. That is a Hebrew word, distance. Distance, right? There are some schools that they've broken down the imaginary, or not imaginary, the distance that should be between teacher and student. Hamorehu chaveiro shel ha-talmid. Nowadays, you know, your rebbe, your teacher is buddy-buddy. He's your friend. She's your friend. Hamore eino mori v'rabi, ela ata. Hamore hi echa menachabura. The teacher is one of the guys. Ve'eino beino leveinam belo klum. Right? There's not what used to be, so to speak. Hu yeled hagadol ben kulam. The teacher is just the oldest child and the one in charge. Umishem kachu, roshem adabrim, barov amikrim. That's why the teacher decides certain things. But it's only a quantitative jump, not a qualitative one. Ruach ha-demokratia chadra gam ben kosle batei sefer elo. There's democracy. Vayelad ha-miskein. The child has rights, just like the teacher has rights. Hayelad kibel shivyon zechuyot. Ein zechuzo shel amor lahanish. The teacher has this limit and that limit and that limit. Obviously, the teacher should have limits, but says Rav Ben Tzion Fuhrer, and this was written decades ago, that, you know, we've reached a time where basically the teacher's hands are tied and it's all about the students, which there is, to a certain level, there's obviously the children have to be and the students have to have certain rights and privileges, but there also has to be a teacher. But it's gone to the state where we're all buddy-buddy and your Rebbe goes over and it's good for the Rebbe to, you know, or the rabbi or whoever it is, the spiritual leader. Our generation needs the personal connection, but there also needs to be that invisible line between rabbi and congregant, between Rebbe and Talmud. Yes, he could play ball with them, but there's a, shouldn't be changing in the same locker room. And there's a Rebbe and there's a Talmud. And there's a parent and there's a child. There has to be a close-knit relationship, but there's still an imaginary line that needs to be, which doesn't exist sometimes. Because we're so nervous that we want to make sure that the buddy-buddy side is emphasized. Line 16. Hatotzos mufukpakbas ma'od. The results are very unclear. Hataras haretzua bofan kitzoni kazeh, where it has totally undone. Kfar garmal avdon ashpato shalamor al tamido. The teacher doesn't really have any influence so strong. Hatamid menatzalos kedushas chuyosav. The student always has his rights. I don't have to do this homework. I don't have to do this work. I don't have to do this and that. And he goes through and he says on line, what is this, line 26 or so, Brum, like the Rambam says, you always have to have the Shvil Azov. You got to find the right balance. He says, our generation is too far in one direction. Too far. Kumo b'kol shetach acharkach, gam b'shetach achinuch, hamida anachoni hi Shvil Azov, the golden mean, lo kitzonius elementinus, right? I guess you have some schools in certain, you know, strands and certain groups where the child has no rights. And the child sits there, and the teacher, Rachman al-Itzlan, could be even, you know, in abusive ways, and that's acceptable in certain areas, which is terrible also in the other extreme. I'm not comparing the two extremes. But I'm just saying, the ideal is where there is a beautiful, wonderful, warm relationship between the two sides of the classroom or the household. But there is also an imaginary line. Hamida nachoni shvil azav lo kitzonis elamatinus v'chul. Says Rav Ben Zion Führer, the big day kahuna were to help create this distance. The Kohanim used to be the teachers. They were the ones that, you know, led. They were the ones that, you know, spent most of their year teaching. 2 weeks out of the year, they were working in the Beis HaMikdash. Besides that, they spent the rest of the year teaching Klal Yisrael. So they had begadim. The begadim were lechavod l'sefares, in order to create their glory. Again, not to hold themselves higher than anyone else, but in order to create an awe about them. Like I've quoted in the past, the rabbi, the teacher, the parent has to take their position seriously, but don't take themselves so seriously. But to recognize the position. And therefore he says, on line 12 in the second column now, Rishmi Yusamzu Shalkoanim, Hufgana Kabal Amba Eda, Levishas Big De Kahuna, Bapam Rishon Isa Pumbis, you put on the Begadim, Aaron HaKohen. So the Levush itself creates a certain aura. And that's why the Kohanim had that. So his thought at the end is that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a discussion in the Gemara whether he needed to wear the begadim or not, which has a halachic discussion. Is it a function of the avoda or of the kohen? But he says, al derech shurosh, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need those begadim. He was Moshe Rabbeinu. There was distance there. You didn't need. Moshe Rabbeinu's face shines. He wore a veil. He was outside the machaneh. Remember, at this stage, you know, this was post Maybar Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu. How could he not wear the begadim? Because if part of the begadim is to create that awe, and yes, even though you might have that awe, now there's a low plug and the Kohanim have to wear the begadim. But line 32, Amnam Moshe Hayamore va'avad gam ba'avodas hamishkan b'shivas yimei miluim afapikin lo lavash kol big day srod v'lo lakach lasma kol zechuyos yeser. Ki yesh morim shebizchus shir komasam haruchaniva musari koshem imis alavavus besara. Sometimes it's just their sheer presence engenders in everyone around them an awe, a trepidation, in a beloved way, but there's awe there. So again, the message that he gives through this thought is clear. There has to be the balance, but he relates it to Moshe Rabbeinu and everything related to Moshe. Okay, one more thought on the Parsha, and then one thought on Parsha's part. So Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the Parsha, Peraches Pasik, the second half, when he talks about the Miluim, Vayomer Moshe Lo'eda, Zeh Adav Asher Tziv Hashem La'asos. This is what Hashem told me to tell you. Zeh Adav Asher Tziv Hashem La'asos. Peraches Pasik, hey. Zeh Adav, says Rashi, Dvarim Shetir'u, Shani Yoseh Lefneichem. What I'm about to do, the Avoda, says Moshe to all of Klal Yisrael. What I'm about to do, Tzivani HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asos. Hashem told me to do it. Hashem told me to appoint my brother as the Kohen Gadol and his children. Va'al tomru lichvodi ulichvod achi ani oseh. Don't think, Moshe tells Klal Yisrael, I'm doing this because of my own covet and for nepotism and for, you know, what I think. Don't think that. Moshe Rabbeinu has to announce before he does the avoda of the miluim. Ask Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, was there really a worry that Klal Yisrael were going to be choshed Moshe Rabbeinu at this point? The answer might be, yeah, what about Korach? Answer is, but this was before any type of stain. This is right after the Mishkan was built. You know, this is right after the Egel, and Moshe brings down the second Luchos. Answer Rabbi Yerucham in the Das Torah, source number 9. L'chorahim be'emes yishmakom lachshod al Moshe Rabbeinu, ne'em on beisho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiyasar shem dover, will they really think that? He says, let me ask you another question. Similar, the Mishnah Shkalim tells us that there were no cuffs or pockets on the begadim of the Kohanim. There were no cuffs or pockets or folds. Or why? Because you don't want people to think that there was, they went in to get some Shkalim and maybe there's some Shkalim hidden on the way out in one of the pockets of the Kohen. That's what the Mishnah says in Shkalim. Lo yenichnas lo esapargat chafis lo bemino, no shoes, velo betfilin. He couldn't even wear tefillin when he went in to get the Machzor Shekel. Why? Maybe he would have unsewed his tefillin and stuck some coins into the tefillin box. V'lo b'kemia, because maybe he'll come out and he'll get rich and he'll say, oh, I know why he got rich. Maybe he'll get poor and they'll say, oh, I know why he got poor. Punishment. So that's why you couldn't wear anything in. Ask Rav Yerucham, you really think people are going to be choshed that people are going to open up their tefillin in the room where the shkalim are and stick a couple of coins in there? What does that mean? Ha'im be'emes yimsa shote asher yagid kazos shegam hitir atefer lasis b'docho mos. And we're not even talking about, you know, all kohanim later. Here we're talking about Aaron HaKohen. So explains to Rabbi Yerucham, the idea of chshad is not just about other people. It's about ourselves, about living in a way that is so above nikius, so clean, right? Like there's no even coming near chshad. It's not so much that people are going to be choshed, but it's just that I have to live my life on such a high level. Ki lo al chshad be'emes anu b'nachon medabrim. We're not talking about actual chshad of concern. Ki im al inyan shel nikius. It's the opposite. It's the state that I have to put myself in. She mitzvah b'fnei atzma, l'hisrachik ach me'eza avak. Not even dust of anything. Has to be totally not. Remember the Gemara in Chulin? Right, I think one of the Amoraim, was it Rav, said, or maybe in Yuma also. You know what Achil Hashem is? It's in Yuma. Achil Hashem is if I don't pay in cash and I take it on credit, one of the Amoraim said. What's wrong with paying on credit? You'll pay next week. But for me, I can't pay on credit. There's different levels. There's different standards. He says, I have to be way up here. Naki. Naki means above. Above any type of not even close to chshad. And that's what's going on by the Kohanim. I have to have that standard. And that's what he says towards the end of the piece. Are people going to think? It's still the brother and it's still, you have to declare it. Declare it, Hashem told me. Clarity. and that's what's demanded in the requirement of Nikias, which, by the way, if you remember, is in the middle of the Mesulas Yesharim, one of the Midos is Nikias. And then Rav Yerucham references his own words in Parshas Vayetze, where Yaakov Avinu is the model of Nikias, even when dealing with somebody like Lavan. The Rambam in Hilchos Schiros, I think at the end of Hilchos Schiros, quotes the Psukim by Yaakov Avinu as the model of honesty and the model of clean, that if somebody shouldn't be able to look over my records and have any questions, clean, crystal clear. He says that was Yaakov Avinu. And he says in the next source 10, Zav tahor, tachlis abiris, clarity. That's what we're required and mandated to do in the positive. Even if nobody's going to see, even if it's far away from chshad, we have to do everything we can so it doesn't look funny. Even if it doesn't look funny to ourselves. Even for that. And so again, a lot of behavior in Yadus doesn't only have to do with other people. Right? It has to do with who we are. You know, how we eat. Let's say we're home alone. There's still a way of how to eat. Do we eat with our hands when nobody's home? No, Lachor, we use silverware. Why do we use silverware? Why don't we just eat with our hands? Because that's not the way that a human being behaves in a fine way. It says that's again a parallel mushel of Nikias. So we have to focus on ourselves, not just focus on other people. Okay, one final thought relating to Parshas Parah. The Mefarshim, I gave you one, the Melech HaShlomo, he's one of the Achronim commentaries on Mishnayos. So Melech HaShlomo on the Mishnah Megillah that talks about the Dalid Parshios, he discusses Parshas Par, and he says, what is that this supposed to be? Parshas Zachar, I understand, last week. Remember Amalek, we're supposed to remember Amalek, and that's Lamaisa, we're supposed to remember Amalek. But what Parshas Par, we're supposed to remember that they became Tahar in the olden days with the Paraduma. And they did that before Nisan because they had to become Torah for the carbon. We don't have the Paraduma. So what are we doing? We're remembering what was, what they used to do? It says in Melech HaShlomo, Hadavar kashe ma'od, ma'lanu likros parshazu, ve'ein biyadeinu la'asosa, v'lo taras tamemeis. We can't become tar. We're all tamemeis. So what are we reading this for? What are we supposed to remember? It says in Melech HaShlomo, The Machshava of Tara itself, you think about the Paraduma. That Machshava itself is Matahir. Akeve Hakrena Kavana Ritsuya Bemakam Hamayim. Sheena Mayim Matarim Ela Ikar Akol Shacha Yitin Alibo. Think about the messages of Paraduma. Think about that they used to become Tahar and we could become Tahar. There's always an avenue to become Tahar. Rabbi Akiva taught us that. Remember Rabbi Akiva? Always the optimist. Throughout Shas and Chazal. He's always the one with the positive attitude. At the end of Maseches Makkos, he has a positive attitude. And at the end of Maseches Brachos, called Avid Rachman Latav Avid. He always has a positive attitude. Rabbi Akiva. And he tells us the last Mishnah Maseches Yuma, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. What are we going to do without the Avoda? A mikvah can be Matar you. Mikvah, Matar is Yisrael. Ma mikvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Matahar you. So connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Machshava of Paraduma, recognizing what Tara means, learning the messages of Paraduma, that itself could purify us. Like the Rambam talks about at the end of Sefer Tara, the Mei Hada'as. That's the mikvah that we go in. What is the message of Paraduma then? What are we supposed to be thinking about? What are we supposed to be thinking about? So there's much to think about. Rav Mirsky, in the third volume of Hegyoni Halacha, summarizes the Beis Halevi, which we've discussed in past years in Parshas Kisisa. The Paraduma was the antidote of the Chet HaEgel. Right? The Chet HaEgel was all about, according to the Beis Halevi, it was not Avodah Zarah, but it was creating one's own pathways to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Paraduma teaches us, and the Mishkan teaches us, No. You got to go in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to act. Even if you don't understand it, this is the way you got to do it. And that's Paraduma. Serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way. Become Tahor in this way, even though it doesn't make sense. Metar is a Tmeim, Umetame is a Tahorim. But part of Paraduma, part of that message is also letting go and recognizing that we don't understand everything. and we're not in control. Right, Parah Aduma, Rav Soloveitchik writes about this, discussed this in the past, it's the only Tara process that requires someone else to do something to me. Usually, how do I become Tar? I jump in a mikvah. I might wait a couple of days, and then I go in a mikvah. Tara is usually, I could do it. Tumas Meis, which is the ultimate mystery of life, I need someone else to sprinkle upon me. What's the, and then besides going to the mikvah, what does that show? That shows that I'm not in control. The message of Parah Aduma is that there's a lot that we're not in control of. We have to do our hishtadlus and whatever we need to do. But we have to make sure that we recognize the message of Parah Aduma at every stage of life, personally and nationally. We have to do what we can, but then recognize there is a Bore, recognize there was some, there is a power in charge who has a plan. And B'ez Hashem, we have to daven, we have to do what we can to try to influence and try to be mashpia, to bring ourselves up, to be worthy of the Geula. But that's the message of Parah Aduma that will purify us when we recognize that we're not in the driver's seat. Just to end maybe with the Sfas Emes that I like to quote in Parshas Kedoshim, where the Parshas Kedoshim, it says, Ish imo v'aviv tiro, we have to have moreh from our parents. What is moreh from our parents? One of the halachas is, usually we just put together, kibud av'eim and moreh av'eim, but not sitting in my father's chair. That's moreh. I shouldn't sit in my father's chair. Says the Sfas Emes, we also have to have moreh from Hashem. Don't sit in Hashem's chair. Hashem's at the head of the table. Don't sit in his chair. Don't be the balabas. Hashem's the balabas. Right? Don't try to take his jobs. With Hashem, we should be zochet that our balabas, right, to have that moreh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our balabas should say, Dai l'tzaroseinu, should say, Dai l'chol karbonoseinu, and Bez Hashem, we should only be zochet, we should be zochet to only have to bring the karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash, Be'ezus Hashem, b'mheira v'yameinu.